You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Where's my socks?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Can't find my socks. Where are my socks? Here they are. Where are my shoes? Anybody see my shoes? Where are my shoes? There they are. Where are my pants? Who's got my pants? Welcome to the program. Thank you for being here. You didn't have to do this. No one's forcing you. It's not like a work release program. It's not community service. So I ask you again, what are you doing here? All right. That's enough. Welcome to the program. My name is quite obvious because it's in the title of the show. So that's about it. I don't know what else to tell you. How are you? Good to be with you. Yeah, huh? I'm looking for, what do they call that stuff? Collagen. I'm looking for collagen. I went into a Whole Foods store yesterday. And by the way, they don't have the Whole Foods. They have some foods that are way over. What is it with that? Why does everything have to be so overpriced? Why is a little container of cottage cheese $10? What's going on with that? Where is this cheese coming from? The highest elevations of the Himalayas? Some guy with a cane coming down off the mountain with a goat? Where is this? Why is the cottage cheese $10? What's up with that? I don't understand the Whole Foods concept. If you want to be healthy, apparently you have to pay a lot of money to eat well. I don't understand that. Where do you get off doing that? It's not like cottage cheese costs that much money. You can walk into just a regular supermarket where actual people go, and the cottage cheese is like $3. What, $10 for cottage cheese? The hell's wrong with you? And yet I see people in Whole Foods walking around looking at stuff and buying the stuff, and I feel like tapping them on the shoulder and saying, you don't have to pay this. There's a store down the street. It's a third of the price. It's the same stuff. Cottage cheese. It's cottage cheese, you asshole. But you can't do that, you know. You can't walk up to people and tap them on the shoulder. That's assault. Although I'd be helping them. Or it's not assault. If you want unsalted cottage cheese, it's still only $3. This is the finest cottage cheese available in the land. It is mined by pygmy goats who eat only the grass fed of the grasses, the finest of grasses fed to the goats. Of the cottage cheese. I don't even know if goats make cottage cheese. I'm not into that. I've had cottage cheese before. It's not so bad. In most cases, it looks like somebody had some cheese, regurgitated it, and put it in a tub, and put a $10 sticker on it. When I walk through Whole Foods, I look at other people in a sense like, what's wrong with you? What is your problem? Is it, why is it you think this is the only store you can be in? What's wrong with you? Do you have a problem? I don't get it. I don't get the Whole Foods thing. I just don't get it. It is, of course, owned and operated by this Jeff Bezos guy who likes to go into space a little bit and then come back immediately. It's like an amusement park ride for him. He also owns Amazon, which is doing quite well. Needed a lamp for my room yesterday. My other lamp broke. It's brokey, and I had to throw it out. So I went to a store. I went to that French store, Target. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a store with a big Target on the side of the building. So if you want to destroy the building, they make it very convenient for you. They actually put the Target on the building. I go in there. Nice people. Everything's color coordinated. Very, very nice. I look at the lamps. Whoa, what do you think you are, Whole Foods? Why is a lamp $113? Where in all the other stores, a similar lamp, $30. What are you doing? Why? I don't know. But people actually pay the money for that cottage cheese in the lamps. So I went into Target, didn't see what I liked. Went on to Amazon, which is America's shopping place. Found the same lamp for $30, $100 less almost. Ordered it. Went to the cart thing, you know, the cart screen where you check it out. You know, you pay for it and then they send it to you, you know, the Amazon people. You know how that works. I went to the cart there, and they said they could deliver it between 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night the same day. This is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm ordering a lamp, and Amazon says I'll deliver the lamp in a couple hours. What? What? If that's not efficiency, I don't know what is. I don't get it. I don't know why people shop in more expensive stores than they have to. I mean, if the merchandise is different, I get that. I get that. But if it's the same damn item, I don't understand why people go to the stores that charge them more money. I just don't get it. But then I realized there's a lot of things that I don't get. There's a lot of things I don't understand. For example, I'm not going to get political. This is just in general spectrum. I know most of you listening to this show and most of you alive walking the planet don't follow things too well because you don't care about them. You're interested in putting food on the table and paying your bills and being able to afford the cottage cheese. I get that. So let me just open your eyes here. Come here, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Let me open your eyes for you. As you probably know, if you follow the news, oh, there's news? What's happening, Ron? Oh, come on. Follow the news a little bit. The U.S. House of Representatives, they ousted their speaker, Kevin McCarthy, whom I thought was a ventriloquist of a dummy back in the 1930s.
Ron, I wasn't born then. I'm a millennial. I was born in 2001. I don't know what you're talking about. Charlie McCarthy? What is that?
Okay, all right. Let's just move on. I guess I'm old enough. I mean, I'm not old enough to have been there at the time, but I'm old enough to know what the Charlie McCarthy was. It was a ventriloquist dummy. Anyway. I think it was, actually. I don't know if it was the ventriloquist dummy or if it was the ventriloquist himself. Okay, maybe I don't know too well. Oh, no. I think it was the dummy. It was the dummy. Yeah, it was the dummy. Anyway, okay, back to what I was talking about. McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy is ousted. Because one person in the U.S. House of Representatives can just say, I don't want him here anymore, and then everybody can vote him out, or her, whatever. So now they don't have any Speaker of the House. Let me explain to you what the Speaker of the House does, or at least the position of the Speaker of the House. In the totem pole of people that can run the country, there's the president. We vote for that. Then there's the vice president. That's just the person on the same bus as the president. That doesn't matter as much. So you got the president, then you got the vice president, and the next person in line for the throne would be the Speaker of the House. I don't know why. I don't know who came up with that. I don't know why it's not the head of the Senate, but it happens to be the Speaker of the House, the very person that they ousted. So it's a significant position. Should the chain of command go down to the third person, Speaker of the House, an important position. But that position doesn't necessarily have to be a person in Congress. It can be anybody. Let me explain to you how that works. My name is Ron Van Dam. Nice to meet you. How are you? I can literally and legally just have somebody mention my name in Congress. Mind you, I've never been in the room. I can have someone mention my name in Congress. They can vote, and I can be Speaker of the House, third in line to be president. I don't have to be a member of Congress to run the Congress. Excuse me? I didn't know that. I'm telling you, it's true. It's a rule. I think everybody got drunk one day and came up with a stupid rule. You don't have to be a member of Congress to run Congress, to be the head of Congress. It's so stupid. It's unbelievable. I might not be a bad choice, to be honest with you. I think I could knock their asses in line. But, I mean, anybody can. My sister, I don't even have a sister, but if I had a sister, my stupid sister could run the Congress, could run the U.S. House of Representatives. She doesn't have to be voted in as a member of the U.S. It can be anybody. It can be you. Yes, even you. It's the stupidest rule ever. It's true. I'm not making this up. So they need to fill the Speaker of the House position as soon as possible, because before they do that, you can't really get anything done. Not like anything was being done before. That was actually funny. They interviewed a member of a Republican member of Congress and said, you know, you oust the Speaker of the House and then you take a week off, then everybody can go home for a week, and that looks really, really bad. And this Republican House representative said, well, it's not like we were getting anything done when we had somebody as Speaker of the House. So what the hell's the difference? We aren't doing anything anyway. An admission of stupidity. So anyway, so the position is vacant for Speaker of the House. And next week, next Wednesday, they're going to try to find somebody to do it, who's actually, you know, probably a Republican, U.S. House of Representatives person. But in the meantime, Donald Trump, who is no longer president, he's an ex-president, could be another one. Oh my God, please, please, no. But could be. It was floating around. Donald Trump, you know, you could be Speaker of the House, you know. You don't have to be a member of Congress. But Trump actually said, no, I don't have time between campaigning for president and having my life ruined. I don't have time. Don, you ruined your own life, baby. These are not accusations against you just to fuck you up. This is all stuff you did to yourself. That's why I hope that they televise every trial that Donald is in, especially the federal trials, which right now you can't. The American public needs to hear every piece of actual, factual evidence. You can't make up evidence. It has to be there in your hand in the form of a tape or papers or or witnesses. You can't execute somebody without actual facts. And the American public needs to see them and hear them. We need to see the trials. Anything short of seeing these trials would be devastatingly stupid. Anyway, that's an example of a stupid law that anybody can run, can be Speaker of the House, third in line to be president. It's just stupid. I don't know what the forefathers, I guess they should have had five fathers doing this. When the forefathers put together the Constitution or whatever, I mean, you know, the Senate and the House of Representatives and which is the Congress, they can make and break rules. They can vote new rules and change rules and all that. So they can do whatever they want. But because both sides of the aisle hate each other, we get nothing done, and the American public sits here and buys $10 tubs of cottage cheese. It makes no sense. I'm wiping my nose because I have allergies this morning, as if you cared. As if you cared. I don't know. It just seems like everything is just running into the crapper. And as I said, not to be the harbinger of death here, but as I said, 2024 is not going to be an enjoyable situation. It's going to be a rough, horrible year. Politicians are going to try to decimate each other. And in doing so, the country is going to run stalemate and have to listen to all this crap back and forth. It's going to be a year of crap. And then there's the election next November, not this one, which was the next November. It's the November after it. I don't know what you call that. I guess in a year and a third is the election. Not this November, the next one, after this one. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Not the November that's coming up next month, but a year from then would be the presidential election where you go and you actually vote. That's good. I tell you, if Donald Trump is the nominee for the Republicans, which apparently will be the case, again, we're going to go through this shit again where he ain't going to lose. And if he does lose, it's a lose-lose situation is what it is. If he loses, there's going to be a civil war. There just is. There just is. Because his people are going to be double pissed over the piss that they are now. And Trump never loses, although he's starting to continually. There's going to be a significant, a third world kind of war going on here. Trump will not lose. He will not lose. So, but if he wins, we all lose. So it's a lose-lose. 2024 is going to go down in history as the shit year of all years. Hey, we're breaking records with the hottest year on record. It gets hotter every day. 2024 is going to be the worst year of everything. Everything. So gear up. Buy your cottage cheese and store it because you're going to need it. It's going to be a rough year. It's going to be a rough ride. And when you're out there New Year's Eve popping balloons and kissing everybody and, you know, and celebrating and getting drunk, it's not to ring in the new year. It's to prepare for the most tumultuous year in American history. It will happen one way or the other. And with that lovely, optimistic expression of myself unto you, we're going to take a commercial break, and my guest will be joining us momentarily. By the way, next Friday, we are going to have live on the program, Cassidy Hutchinson will be joining us. She was a direct assistant to Mark Meadows in the White House at the time of the January 6th insurrection. Her office is immediately outside the Oval Office and Trump's little eating dining area. She could see Trump in the next room readily. She was there, and she wrote a book accordingly. She also testified before the January 6th committee, if you recall. She was a top newsmaker during that period of the January 6th investigation. Cassie Hutchinson will be our guest next week, so look forward to that. As you know, I don't do normal interviews, so it's going to be a little crazy and a little revealing, but she will be our guest here on the program. Okay, commercial break. That's what I was talking about. Remember that? Yeah, and then we'll be back with our guest for today right after this message.
Have you been injured in an auto accident? Have you thought about maybe getting injured in an auto accident? Every day, hundreds of people around the country win very profitable lawsuits for the injuries they've suffered in auto accidents. But it's not always easy to find an auto accident to be involved in that you yourself didn't cause. That's where I come in. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, aka Crash Boom Jimmy. I can not only represent you in your injury lawsuit case, but I can help you arrange and be involved in the very accident for which you're seeking to collect. After years on the job, I know a guy who knows a guy who probably knows a guy who can thoughtfully arrange your accident to the degree you want, from gentle fender bender to near-death experience. And if you do happen to die in your accident, there is no cost to you for my services. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, call me now at 555-CRASH-BOOM for your free consultation. Probably somewhere down near the docks where there aren't a lot of cameras, or maybe in the back room of my cousin Lorenzo's restaurant. They make such a good brujol, you can't believe it. 555-CRASH-BOOM. Call me today, because with Jimmy LaGuardia, winning your lawsuit is no accident.
Adam Bree joins us. He's a drone expert and co-founder and CEO of Scudio. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here.
This is fascinating. You know, drones are something that we know of as they're a newly developed piece of technology. Many of us haven't seen the drones themselves, but we've seen the results of them. This is a booming situation, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Many people are familiar with drones as kind of cool toys. Maybe you've seen one as a Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. It takes it out of the box, flies it into a tree. but the thing that's really exciting to us is over the last few years, drones have become super powerful tools for many of the critical industries that our civilization runs on, because they offer the possibility of putting a sensor or camera wherever you need it to get useful information without having to put a person in harm's way. So we're seeing that have really amazing impact in public safety, in construction, in energy utility, and critical infrastructure inspection.
Absolutely.
So there's all these use cases that have really amazing results, many of which are kind of just out of sight of what most folks see every day.
Well, drones provide what we can't see otherwise in many situations, either because the situation's too dangerous or we just can't get up there. It's fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating. And used properly and effectively, it's amazing. I get a little bit nervous, just to go into this subject for just a second, get out of the way. I get a little bit nervous about the common person having a drone and then spying on other people or packages being delivered by drone. I mean, it's just it can get out of hand as any technology can, but the advantages of it are phenomenal. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, our products are used across a wide range of industries.
Right.
One of the applications that we're most excited about is public safety. And one of the things that we've seen with public safety agencies is community engagement is really important. The agencies that have the most transparency mm-hmm. with where and how they're using drones tend to be the most successful
yep.
because what happens is the more people see how drones are actually used, the more comfortable they get with it. You know, drones are used for all kinds of search and rescue operations.
Right.
You might have a missing person in a field or in a forest where it could take hours to go and find them on the yeah. ground, and you can use a drone to oftentimes locate them in a couple of minutes. Or you might have a situation where there's an armed suspect in a neighborhood, and rather than having an officer need to go door to door with the gun on, you can send the drone to go out looking, and it just keeps everybody
right.
safer. So I think there are certainly legitimate concerns out there about privacy and safety and so on. But I think the more people see how drones are actually used, especially in the hands of professional users,
yes,
the more comfortable they tend to be with it because the impact is just so incredible.
Yeah, you had the escaped convict in Pennsylvania that I believe the drone was silent, and you know, helicopters you can hear, drones not necessarily, and that's how they located this convict. So, yeah, I mean, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. And certainly when it comes to the military, you are putting, as far as soldiers, you're taking them out of harm's way and using other methods. I think that's incredibly wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the U.S. military is a major customer of ours.
Yeah.
Our products are kind of the official soldier-carried quadcopter that any soldier on the battlefield can put in the air,
yeah,
and just get real-time situational awareness. So it stops them from having to guess where a nearby threat is. They can fly over the hill or around the building,
right,
see what's there, make better decisions to keep themselves safer.
Yeah.
So it's really, really powerful technology. And the other thing that I think is interesting is, in spite of all the great stuff that's happening, it's still very early days as an industry. There's still a lot more stuff to come to make these products more useful to more people and in more situations. And that's fundamentally what we're really all about as a company.
Yeah, but again, as long as they're in the hands of professionals who are using it for a good cause, I shudder to think that I look out the window and I see a drone coming at me, either to deliver a package or just to cause me harm. I mean, who knows? I just... are there regulations as far as airspace is concerned?
There are, yes, there are. So drones in general are regulated by the FAA, the same governing body that regulates all air travel.
Good.
You know, historically, crewed air travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a set of safeguards that are coming into play to try to reinforce responsible use. So one is called Remote ID,
right,
which is basically like a digital license plate that every drone will be required to carry very soon.
Good.
So that you can link the drone, if you need to the operator, the same way that a license plate on a car works. So this is one, I think, you know, very reasonable sort of best practice to encourage responsible use. And if somebody's doing something nefarious that they shouldn't be, they can be held accountable. So there's things like that.
Uh-huh.
There's also different regulations in terms of like when and where and at what altitude you can fly to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like any new technology, there's a lot of implications that have to be figured out that we have to work through. And I think in general, regulators are doing a nice job here. This is something that we try to engage with and support wherever we can as a company. But I think you'll see over time that more and more of the use is going to be by professional users that are using them as part of their job, that
good,
are trained, and are using them in a very responsible way.
Yeah, they are for the better. It's technology that is incredibly helpful to all of us. Will there be jobs opening up in this particular field?
Yeah, there already are. So one of the segments that we sell into is education.
Uh-huh.
And we see more and more high schools and universities standing up drone programs to,
yeah,
train their students on the technology and how to use them and how it can be deployed. And the reason they're doing that is because there's more and more jobs that revolve around drones, because they're just so powerful and so useful in so many industries.
Yeah. Has there been a push by Amazon, for example? I know they were talking years back about using drones for deliveries. Is that still a viable possibility?
So Amazon has been talking about drone delivery. There are a handful of other companies out there that are also working on drone delivery. I think there are very interesting possibilities with drone delivery. But I think that the applications that make the most sense are a little bit further removed from what most people imagine. So there are companies, for example, that are delivering blood and medical supplies in Africa where the road infrastructure isn't as good, for example. And I think that makes a lot of sense because each delivery is really, really valuable and you wouldn't be able to do it any other way.
Right.
The concept of, you know, having the burrito show up at your doorstep, it's certainly
a little much.
It's possible, but I think it's going to be a while before that happens in a really scaled fashion because there's a lot of risk and challenges and noise,
yeah,
that come into play in doing,
yeah,
that. You know, if you want to deliver a burrito, you're talking about a drone that probably weighs 50, 60 pounds, which is big enough to be dangerous, flying long distances over populated areas. So I think you're going to see the flying sensor applications reach significant scale first, which you essentially already are with products like ours.
Let's make technology like that in the eyes of public safety, military, first responders, as you've mentioned, construction, safety. That's the focus, and that's where we need it. Where do we go for more information about this?
If you want to learn more about Skydio, you can just go to skydio.com. You can see more about our products. You can see more about the industries that we serve and also the solutions that we offer.
Wonderful. That's Sky. It's Skydio for those that, because it's a new word. And thank you so much for your time today, Adam. It's fascinating. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me on. This was great.
Well, all right, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, oh my God, I wish you peace.